Lift up your hands. Father, we give you the glory. Bless us this morning. In the name that is above every other name, Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. I'm going to speak briefly on unleashed with action. Unleashed with action. We have been examining the subject of anointed and unleashed right from January. I've been opening up this and we'll be ending by the end of this month. That we are anointed by God first, and then we are unleashed. The unleashed means we are commissioned for an assignment. So if you are commissioned for assignment, God will not commission you for an assignment when you are not prepared. So he anoints you and commissions you. So that the commissioning comes after the anointing. But in the process of executing the commission, God will still add more anointing. David received 3 levels of anointing. So every challenge that comes your way, the Lord will anoint you. Amen? But I'd like you to just pay attention to the fact that when the Lord anoints you and commissions you, the commission is validated on action. The commission is validated on action. In other words, when the Lord commissions you and says, go, your commission is only working when you have taken action. When you have taken action. The commission doesn't mean anything. The commission is bogus until there is action applied to the commission. So sometimes you hear people saying that, oh, and the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that. Now the question is, after the Lord told you that, what have you done? And I'd like you to ask the friend sitting by you, what have you done? One more time. For the last time. What have you done? Actions. Moses encountered Lord in Exodus chapter number 3. And the Lord commissioned Moses and gave Moses signs and wonders to confirm that he has sent him. Then he told Moses, when you appear before Pharaoh, see to it that you do all that I have told you. You do or see to it. When you appear before him, see to it. Come on, say, see to it. One more time. And I'd like us to just read just that text to begin with. Exodus 4:21. If you can project for us, that'll be fine. Shall we all read this together? One, two, go. When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you. One more time. I have given you. So you see the thing. See to it that you perform. The performance validates the commissioning. God has commissioned Moses. But the encounter Moses had with the Lord will be nothing until he does what the Lord has asked him to do. And then he tells us here that, do all that I have given you power to do. In other words, what you don't have anointing for, don't venture. I hope you heard that right. In other words, don't copy blindly. What you have not been commissioned for, don't copy. What you have not been called for, don't copy. What you have not been assigned and given power to do, don't copy. But see to it that you do what I have given you power to do. So when God commissions us, a commission is a divine mandate that gives you power to execute that mandate. That's a commission. You are given a divine mandate. But in the commission is power to execute the mandate. But the power to execute the mandate will lie dormant. The power itself doesn't come and say, use me. No. As a matter of kingdom rule, God doesn't send power to people who are not ready and ask them to pick up and go. No. Because the kingdom doesn't operate on robotics. It operates on intentionalities. A man must decide that I want to do this. That is why a man must decide that I want to come to Jesus. A man is not called against his will. The entire enterprise of redemption, as we see recorded in the book of Genesis, was an enterprise of God giving man a choice to be intentional. Man must choose and must act accordingly. So the power in the commission will not rise up and say, hello, 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 I'm here. Hello, Professor Bawole Gatapo, hello. No. He doesn't do that. You see, when Jesus was living, prof, he says, in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. But he told him in verse 4 that wait. Wait for what? I can't hear. Wait for what? Our big brother is in the house. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. That's the Minister of Education. Honorable, you're welcome. Mama and the family, you're welcome. He says, wait for it. So wait, go to Jerusalem. God is not coming to carry you on wings. And then he can say, hello, fa, fa, me pese uto, fa, fa. No. Please listen to me. The kingdom does not operate on robotics. It operates on intentionalities. You must be intentional of what you have to be. So he has commissioned Moses, but he tells Moses, see that you perform. Come on, say, see that you perform. Please highlight that phrase for me. Highlight that phrase for me. Come on, say that you perform. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. For the last time, one more time. Now, who should perform? Who should perform it? Moses' brother, his mother, his friends, his family. You yourself see that you perform. But you see, within this invitation to perform is the divine resource to empower you to perform. So God will not say, perform without giving you grace. So that is why in the next verse says, perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you power. Power is simply ability. Power is capacity. Power is energy to perform. Power is wisdom to do. Power is wisdom to understand. It's knowledge to act on. So when we talk about power, it is not an abstract thing. You see, you can have what we call artisanal power because you have a skill. You went to school and acquired something. So you have a skill. So that skill you have is power. It's power. You have gone to school and studied. That knowledge you acquired is power. So power is not an abstract element. Power is something that is tangible. He said, I've given you power to do it. So Moses, see to it that you do it. The biggest challenge for the kingdom is that the power of God is resting dormant and the believer is not acting on it. That's the biggest challenge in the kingdom. The other time I said here that the biggest challenge we have that can pose a challenge to the kingdom is to have a church that is ignorant. A church that doesn't know what it's called to do. And for that matter, a believer who doesn't care and doesn't know what he's called to do. See to it that whatever I have given to you, you perform. In the course of the year, I'll be teaching you and I'll be drawing your attention to certain spaces that must be captured by the church. I define impact as carrying virtue to particular space and making the virtue felt. So if you carry any virtue into a space and that virtue is felt, you are making impact. If the virtue is unfelt, you are not making any impact at all. In fact, your presence there is just a waste of time. So see to it. Please tell a friend, see to it. One more time. For the last time, see to it. So let me just walk you through some things that require human action. Jesus told the disciples, all power is given unto me. Power is given unto me. Then he continued, therefore sit. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? Oh, come on, preach with me. Is that what he said? All power is given unto me. Therefore, hey, do you read Bible or what do you read? Therefore, the power is given, but human action must activate that power. That's what that scripture means. All power is given unto me. Therefore, go. And I know what he's saying is that your action will activate a reaction from heaven. So when your action is lying down dormant, heaven becomes dormant. I'm telling you, a busy church gets heaven active. I'm telling you. A church that is serious, heaven is active. The church is dead. The church is dying. Nobody's acting. Nobody's working. Nobody's doing anything. Everybody's sitting and watching. Nobody's doing anything. He said, I have the power, so go. So see, your action can create a certain kind of reaction in heaven. Therefore, go. Because I have given you the power. And I want to just show you six things in the scriptures of the need for human action. God has unleashed the grace, but human action must activate that grace. None of us here, seated here, was born as we are seated here. None of us. Nobody was born dressed as you were dressed. None of us. Nobody was born with the power of language and ability. Nobody. Everybody stayed here was born with an ability to do something. And parental training, education, and all forms of socialization and experiences, what they did to you was to sharpen that particular potential that is seated inside of you. And the greatest disservice you can do to God and to nature is to allow that particular potential that is seated inside of you to lie dormant, unengaged. That's the greatest evil. You cannot walk through life and retire. No. So let's look at the six manifestations of intentionality, of human action. And I counsel you this morning that be active. Tell a friend, be active. You have put so many things at the back burner. You haven't been active for a long time. You have told yourself, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that. But you haven't done it. Why haven't you done it? You haven't done it. But you keep praying. How do you allow heaven to continuously engage your action? Because please listen carefully. Every first human action is a seed. Every first human action is a seed. The first time you are deciding to take a business step is a seed. But the seed must grow and multiply and become other fruits. So the Bible said, Jesus said in John 15, that if you abide in me and I in you, then you will bear much fruit, and your fruit will endure. It is not just bearing fruit, but the fruit must last. It must have impact. Look at Exodus 12, verse 51. Exodus 12, 51. And then Exodus 13. Exodus 13, 17 to 19. Exodus 12, 51 says, "And on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their host." Please, who brought them out? I can't hear you. Who brought them out? Say it one. Who brought them out? All right. Now, 13 from 17 to 19. "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea." Now look at the last part of that verse. "The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle." Ready for what? Now, watch me. 10 solid plagues, wonders, and signs. Mama, should be enough for any Jew who was in this particular group to say, "I have to rest because it is about miracles." 10 miracles. 10 miracles. Huh? 10 miracles. The last miracle was that God asked them, "Pick a lamb without blemish, kill it, and besmear your lintels and your doorposts with the blood, because I will cause a destructive angel or the angel of death to pass by this night. And when he sees the blood, he will pass over." The Bible said, from animal to Pharaoh's house, every first male born species died, from animal to human. And here the Bible said, at where the Israelites lived, the land of Goshen, not even a dog barked. But you see, when you see these miracles, we must see that the next thing should be that miracles, hey, miracles, oh, legends. Miracles all the way. Miracles should be Gary and soaking for us. Miracles should be everything. When you get up in the morning, don't go to work, and a miracle. Money is flowing left and right. Miracles. When you get into your car, don't drive it. Don't turn the ignition on, and the car is moving. Before you come here, just do this and flap your hands, and it turns to wings, and you move. This happens only in Hollywood movies. The Bible said they left Egypt. Now, by this time, at least, what comes into your mind about leaving Egypt is that these people are legends of miracles. At least by this time, they are legends of miracles. And so you don't need anything at all. But we are told that they left Egypt ready for battle. Tell a friend, ready for battle. I can't hear you. You see, our problem sometimes as believers is that our faith rests on miracles more than the character of God. Miracles. The Bible says that God told the people that he said he showed his acts to the people of Israel. Now, acts are miracles. They are signs. They are wonders. But he said he showed his ways unto Moses. That is God's character. Ways reflect deeper than acts. They have left Egypt looking for a miracle. And so you see, when you go a little bit to the chapter 14. The people have been processed by a miracle. It is only a miracle that they know. So when Pharaoh pursued them, I like you to see how miracle-seeking members behave. They have forgotten that they need the character of God. Miracles are good, but it is powerful to rest in the unchanging character of God. They have to do battle. They can't understand it. And I can tell you here that you have to do battle. Tell a friend, you have to do battle. Now, if you are not a soldier, why won't you do a battle? Do a battle. You are a believer. Do battle. Battles are part of the Christian faith. Do battle. When you get them, pray, pray. Challenges are there. Confront the challenge. Go on your knees. Pray. Now, when we say doing battles, we don't mean that you are holding a machete and brandishing it. Bushua. I like watching Chinese movie and Kung Fu, so forgive me. I'm using that. That's only Chinese movies. That's not battle. Let me tell you something. Faith in the midst of storm is a battle. Confidence in the midst of fear is a battle. When something, you look at an issue, and the issue is eating you up, and yet you must still trust in him. As Job said, yet though he slays me, yet I will trust in him. It's a battle. Some things are eating your mind up, and you wonder, where is God? It's a battle. So battle is not just holding a machete and a stick and standing in your room and say, hey, Satan, I chop you down. Hey, Satan, I break your balls. I break your legs. No, that's not battle. Battle is to carry the virtue of God in the midst of storm in a godless world and to still believe that God is still God in the midst of your challenges. That is battle. So they left Egypt. Though they had had miracles, they were ready for battle. Tell a friend, ready for battle. How many of you are ready for battle in God? Let me see your hand. Come on, roll your hands. I want us to pray for just a minute. Come on, say, ready for battle. I can't hear you. Say, ready for battle. Now, listen to this before we play. Listen to this. Listen to the first principle. God was with them. God was with them. That is why they were saved. That is why they were delivered. But listen to this. But they must walk a long while and do battle. God was with them, no doubt. But they must walk a long haul and do battle. Now, you may make a mistake and say, I don't need to do the battle because God is with me. No. No. Listen, the theme for 2024 through 2028 is a theme for battle. For action. Listen to people who have been processed by miracles. Exodus 14 from the verse number 10. Exodus 14 from the verse number 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelis looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Was it because they cried out to the Lord? They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? So you see, as far as these guys were concerned, it is about self-preservation. That's what it implies. We need to preserve ourselves. And not only that, it's about dignity in death. It's about dignity in death. Moses, you think that is it because we didn't have graves? We are better off as slaves. Now let me read on. He said, what have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Pastor, what mistake did you make by preaching about anointed and unleashed? Why did you challenge us to be unleashed and ask us to be active by the word? Pastor, why did you do that? They continue in verse 12. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? These people have a mindset called the mediocre mind. The mediocre mind is a mind that does not challenge anything. The mediocre mind is not a frontier-breaking mind. That's the mediocre mind. The mediocre mind is a mind that focuses on only what is enough. But I can tell you, on authority as a kingdom rule, God does not operate on what is enough. The Bible said the entire kingdom must be the Lord's. Heaven is greedy. Tell somebody, heaven is greedy. I can't hear you. No, I can't hear you. Heaven is greedy. If heaven is not greedy, we should have stopped preaching by now, because it's been over 2,000 years since he asked us to go and preach. Peter preached, Paul preached, they have all preached, Martin Luther preached. Why should I preach? Heaven is greedy. Heaven is greedy because souls must be born again. And people must not go to hell. They said, didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us here alone? Listen, gentlemen, this year I will not leave you at where you are. Tell a friend, pastor won't leave you at where you are. You must break a limit. Tell him, I must break a limit. You must break a limit. You are not going to be at the place where you are. You must break a limit. Leave us in Egypt. The mediocre mind is all the time afraid. Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. The mediocre mind has a slave mentality. A slavery mentality is to accept to be in a particular trouble the rest of your life. Now, I said here some time ago that as a matter of kingdom rule, God doesn't allow evil to have perpetuity of conquest. No. There is a time when evil rules, but there is a time when the divine agenda overcomes. So that is why there is victory. You can only declare victory when there has been a battle. If you haven't had a battle, you can't declare victory. So there is victory. Anybody who said, I'm a victor, was once upon a time a victim. And a victim must become a victor. A victim must not continue to become a victim. No. So they wanted to be in the same place. I have heard people telling me, oh, Ghana, so you're in the Sahara Bay. It's a lie. Tell somebody it's a lie. A bloody lie. Oh, yeah, come here. I met somebody who said, you are a preacher. So do you believe in this nation? I said, where do you live? Are you living on the moon? And he began laughing. Are you living on the moon? If you have a moon to go, you can go there. We there here. You are not going to tell me that this is where God wanted me to be and to be in a nation with all these problems. We are going forward and things will change. That is a thing. The mind of victory is all the time looking forward to a conquest. It must triumph over trouble. It should not say trouble shouldn't come. No. But when trouble comes, it must triumph over the trouble. And it must not say that by all means I must triumph over the trouble. Listen carefully to this. Sometimes in our vulnerabilities, that is where we conquer the most. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. So in God's economy, your weakness can be a tool to harness a divine agenda. That is a kingdom principle. So they must go for battle. And they were crying to Moses, we don't want to go. We don't want to go. Moses, we don't want to go. I want to finish that. He says, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die. Look at them. Look at them. Self-preservation. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm. Tell a friend, stand firm. One more time. The second thing I want to show you quickly is in Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Here, what I want you to capture is that hands were raised, but swords were working. Hands were raised, but swords were working. Now, what is the background? The background is that Joshua is fighting against the Amalekites in the valley. The Bible said, as he fought, Moses went up onto a hill and raised his hands. He says, when the hand of Moses grew wearied, Aaron and Hur held his hands. They also gave him a stone and then he rested on the stone. and he sat on it. While Aaron and Hur held up his hands. Please pay attention. Come on, say, hands were raised. One more time. Now see the hands raised as prayer. See it as anointing. See it as fasting. See the hands raised as any divine activity. Hands were raised. All right, let's go on. He says, so his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalekite or the Amalek and his people with the sword. Now, when you hear the word sword there, it's amazing. Because we are told that hands were raised. And now once the hands were raised, the Amalekites were dying and the Jews were winning. But what you fail to see is that what was leading to the death was not only the hands which were raised, but somebody was holding a sword and he was in the valley. And so whilst prayer and hands and fasting were ongoing, somebody was also working. So after you have prayed 40 days as we are doing, go to the office and work. Tell a friend, go and work. Hands were raised, but souls were working. And I challenge you this morning, put up your scabbard and put your swords. Your sword here is not prayer. Your sword here is not the word of God. No. See the hands as the word I'm preaching to you. See the hands as the prayer we are doing. But your sword is your skill. Joshua must descend into the people and say, thou say the Lord. They will slit his throat. Huh? When he got there, say, hello, manager. I'm looking for a job. It's okay. What is your skill? Don't ask me my skill. I am born of the Lord. Tongue speaking, heaven bound and hell rejected. Manager, look at me. I need a job here. Then the manager said, which school did you attend? Elijah went to no school, but today he's in heaven. Manager, don't ask me stupid questions, okay? Elijah is even in heaven. Then he asked you again, all right, so what can you do? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ah! You are speaking as a philosopher, abstract, so junk. All right, please sit down and then write something. And let's see whether you know what we can see what you can do. No. Manager, don't change my destiny. For whatever is written, is written. Whatever God has said about me will come to pass. And that is what you say. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, hands were raised, but souls were working. Souls were working. So after the 40 days, I want you to put your CV together and walk to an organization and tell the boss that I have a first degree in accounting. I can help you manage your finance. Go to Makola, the women who are looking for accountant, and whatever, tell them, mama, I am an accountant and I am an auditor. I can check to see what is happening. That is your sower. That is your sower. The challenge for the church in Africa is that we believe God as a magical manipulator of the universe. Let it come. Lord, let it come. Lord, let it come. Do you know that Moses encountered God only when he took the flock to the far side of the desert? He was looking for better foliage for them. And so he decided to do something extra. And in his quest, now listen, Moses was not in a 40-day fast when he encountered the Lord. Many of you have created a disconnect between the job you are doing and your faith. Moses was not in any 40-day fast. He was not praying. Moses was not reading the word of God. In fact, Moses was not chanting. He was not doing kata kata, kata kata, kata kata, and the Lord appeared. No. Moses was at work. The Bible said that he was a worker. He was working for his father-in-law. The guy was a worker. He was being paid. And one of his usual working, spree when he was engaging in what he was doing, God encountered him. One of these days, as you are balancing your sheet and you are working in the office, you will experience God. I want you to understand that.
Yes, Lord.
As you are cleaning the teeth of people,
yes,
you
Lord.
Will experience
yes,
God.
Lord.
As
yes,
a medical
Lord.
Doctor, as you work on the body of somebody,
yes,
you will experience
yes,
God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
One of my friend cardiologists was telling me something. When my in-law was in the hospital, I had a very interesting engagement with the cardiologist. And he was telling me what was happening to my in-law. So I decided to just engage him in the morning. I said, what is the most engaging experience you have had? He said, Prof, one of them that I got was that a guy came here with some of the arteries in the heart ruptured, completely gone. So we did our best, but when we checked, we cannot save him. So he died. And then we left clean our hands, and then those who attend to the body were going to attend to the cadaver and take it to the morgue. We were sitting about 20, 30 minutes. Then the guy working on the body rushed and came and said, "Ah, the guy is up. The heart is working, and the place that burst is somehow healed." They rushed to the place. Then he said, that was when he saw that not everything is for man. Some things are for God. Because when he saw the nature of the heart, there's no way the guy should survive. That guy is alive. He told me that they are publishing the story. That there are miracles and strange things happen even at the place of work. That the guy is a believer. And he says that henceforth, anytime I'm working on someone, I am believing God that God is using my skill, tarush, my skill as I cut. I know that God is directing my fingers. And I'm telling any medical doctor sitting here that God is in the theater and God is in the office.
Hallelujah.
Any secretary sitting here, God is in the office.
Yes, Lord.
Any medical doctor here,
yes,
God
Lord.
Is there.
Yes, Lord.
Nurse, God is there.
Yes, Lord.
You cannot take him out of what you do.
Yes, Lord.
Tell a friend, hands were raised.
Hands were raised.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Hands were raised.
And tell him, but souls were working.
But souls were working.
You must leave this place today. I've given you the hands. Leave this place today with your souls. Get to your office tomorrow with your sword. Let the sword be sharpened by the word. And get there and do good job. Tomorrow when you go to the workplace, don't go and steal. Don't go and fight. Don't go and lie. Carry life to the place. When you are entering the office, tell yourself, hey, yesterday I received the hands which were raised. This morning my sword is going to work here. I am going to work in this office. I am the city of God. I love that song. Eden was a garden. I am the city of God.
Yes, Lord.
Let me give you the third one, and I'll leave it here. Next week, I'll continue. If you want to find out the end of this message, please come next week. I'm giving the third one. Exodus 14, 21. To 22. Exodus 14, 21 to 22. Exodus 14, 21 to 22. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back. Who drove the sea back? I can't hear. Who drove the sea back? By a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land. Who made the sea dry land? Who made the sea dry land? Let's continue. And the waters were divided. Who divided the waters? All right, now pay attention to verse 22 carefully. Look at it. Let me see whether you capture something there. Look at verse 22. And the people of Israel did what? Are you reading with me? One go.
On their right and on their left.
But listen carefully to me. If you have followed what we've been teaching the past 40 days on the 10 plagues, why should the people walk through? There should be some divine canoes. Canoes must be there right at the seashore. So suddenly canoes appear and then everybody jumps into it. And the canoes should not even move on the water. They should fly over the water. Then we see that miracles are really taking place. The Bible said of one of the plagues, he says that I will cause darkness in Egypt such as has never happened in human history. He said the darkness shall be so strong that you can feel it. I don't know, but he says this darkness is such that you can tangibly feel it. So if God did that, why can't he command canoes? Moses, stretch your whatever towards the sea. Let the sea be turned into canoe. Let it carry you. No. God opened up the sea. First, he caused an east wind to blow. Now, in the Bible, east winds often refer to judgment. They are used for God. They are used by God to judge people. But in this case, God used the east wind to just open up. And you will see that the same wind was going to judge Pharaoh because he will kill them in the sea. But when it opened up, he said, number two, God made it dry. Number three, this is water. When water opens up and becomes a wall, you know what will happen. It can collapse on you. So some power must hold it as a wall. All of those, God did. What is he looking for? All he's looking for from you is that walk. Walk into, you say you won't walk. And go to Achimata Forest. Go and see people there. Lying on the floor, beating up sticks and trees, cutting them up, mentioning your name and cutting you. Those people who are lecherous, they've been cutting us, but it doesn't work. One day I went to Miracle Center. Prof, you know the place. There's a place, minister, there's a place on campus. When we're students, we always used to go there and pray. So one day, I'm a lecturer. When I became a lecturer, I was going there to just meditate a little bit in the afternoon. When I got there, one of my students was in the bushes, conjuring and commanding me. Now, Father, at that time I was Mr. Safo. Father, lecturer Safo, the paper I wrote, Father, I pray that he doesn't see the mistakes. Father, I prayed that. So I was there. I thought that it wasn't my name I was hearing. I prayed that he will not see. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Well, I said, hey, I've heard all. This one, God is not going to come and tell me that. In fact, I'm here. I've seen you. What I have to grapple with is to know who you are and your name. Once I know your name and your index number, the thing is done. I will not allow you to control me. I refuse it. The guy is binding me. He is putting me in shackles. Let's just embrace. I must not fail. Father, I must not fail. Lord, I bind his eyes so that he will not see. I bind his eyes. My eyes are open. I'll see you all. We gave you 13 weeks of lectures to study. And then you are in the bush binding me. I refuse to be bound. In the name of Jesus. Anybody binding pastor here, I refuse. Your binding will not work on me. Hey, telephone, it don't work on pastor. Walk in it now. Walking is movement. The body you have was made for movement. Kinesiologists are saying that the human body, if it doesn't work and it doesn't walk, it will die. For those of you who don't like exercise, that is why you will die early. It's a simple. This is not prophecy. Because they tell us that the body is sick, that the muscles must be stretched. You must walk and feel that something is happening. At least if you are sitting there and doing something. Some of us, we don't like it at all. You are killing yourself. So when you go to heaven early, God didn't call you. You invited yourself. But because you have a legal entrance to heaven, he will allow you to come. But you have caused us pain here. Exercise. Eat well. Do something. Get up. Stretch your hand. Bend down. Go up. Do it. Press up. Don't say that it's difficult. Hey, you are dying. Walk in it. Know what to eat. Know when to sleep. Know when to rest. Know when to walk. Do some walking. Jump around. Skip around. Let me tell you, human action is not an affront against divinity. God has given us knowledge to act and act wisely. Only actions that are contrary to God will be judged. But I can tell you that every action that God has given you, act on it. Whatever gift you have, act on it. They must walk through. Come on, say walk through. One more time. So get up and steady. Feel that your back is aching. It's normal. After 30 minutes, get up. Do this. And do that. 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 As you are doing, you can speak in tongues. Shakabo, Shaba, Teke, Brandish, Kaba, Yeko, Shaba, Yeko, Shaba, Yeko, Shaba, Yeko, Shaba. All the jumping is part of it. So the blood can flow. I'm telling you, if you are not walking and if you are not active, you are killing yourself. No amount of prayer will do. You have to understand that God wants you to act well. Tell a friend, act well. They must walk. The sea is opened up, but somebody must walk in it. That's the third and the final one for today. The sea is opened up, but people must walk through it. Ghana is a space. People come here and make money. And the sons of the soil are poor. Father, give us ability to walk. Every locomotive attribute on your part that is impaired. Sometimes your locomotion is impaired because of the way you think. And next week I'll be addressing that. The way you think, the mindset you have. The sea is opening up. Walk in it. He said, I'm afraid it will break on me. Go. You need courage. Stand firm. Walk in it. So all the young men here and all the young ladies here who are married, who are yet to marry, who are working, your actions that you take, your intentionalities, your consistencies, everything that you take, remember that God has a role and he will do that for you. So as you pray, act on it. 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 Your action will be a validation of God's grace in your life. You will not work, and so God will not give you any opportunity because you don't want to work. And God will not open a door to lazy people because the kingdom is profit-minded. It's profit-minded. You cannot. He said, a man gave talent to his servant and say, occupy. Come on, say, occupy. One more time. For the last time. Occupy till I come. Please lift up your hands.